grateful to be with you here today. And like we said, it is Father's Day. And I thought we couldn't go into a sermon without a couple of dad jokes. Who's up for little dad jokes today? I don't know. You know what dad jokes are? Everybody know? They're like the corny jokes. Like, how do you make a robot angry? Keep pushing his buttons. Okay, did you hear about the kidnapping that took place at school? Do you know what they did with the person? They woke him up. You get that? Kidnapping. They woke him up. Oh, anyway, so what did one wall say to the other? I'll meet you at the corner. Womp, womp. How can you tell if a pig is hot? It's bacon. Speaking of which, all the men here today will be welcome to your own special cup of bacon on your way out as a Father's Day gift from us to you. And one last but not least, what do you call a fake dad? A faux pas. It's like knee slap, right? You feel free to use those anytime today. Write them down. If you need them after the service, I will happily be giving them to you. But we are in the third week of our series called Conflicted, and we've been talking about over the last few weeks about, look, really unpacking this passage in Matthew's gospel about dealing with conflict, because conflict is real in our lives. And it's funny because those couples that I've done premarital counseling with, like before doing officiating a wedding, one of like the sessions that we gather and talk about is about communication and conflict. And usually during that session, I ask the couple, like, tell me, how do you fight with one another? Like how do you fight? What takes place? And every single time, or almost every single time, there's usually one of the couple that will like kind of smile. And then they'll boast and say, well, that's the thing, we hardly ever fight. And I know that not to be true. Or there's something happening there in the couple that they're avoiding conflict. And usually I have to give like a little bit of a lecture about how conflict is really not a bad thing. Conflict is not a bad thing. In fact, I'm always a little skeptical of people, even couples, that say that they have no conflict. That conflict is good because it shows first and foremost that you are two different people in this relationship. And that it shows your priorities as individuals. It can actually help in communication. It often unearths things that are going on beneath the surface that otherwise you would never know about if you wouldn't enter conflict. That conflict's not a bad thing, but it's how we deal with conflict that can be damaging. It's how we deal with it. That if we never learn to deal with conflict in a healthy way, it can actually become the thing that drives many relationships in our lives into the ground. But when we learn to deal with conflict in a healthy way, it can actually help us to thrive and our relationships to thrive, whether with parents, siblings, with a spouse or significant other, or with friends or bosses or coworkers. It can help us in those ways. And so in this series, we're talking about how to work through disagreements and confrontations and through this passage in Matthew 18. And Jesus in this passage is really laying out this specific process for dealing with conflict within the church. And he lays out this process, but I think it goes a little bit beyond that. I think that underneath it are principles that Jesus followers, those of us that have chosen to follow Jesus, things that we can take with us into just about all of our relationships, ways that can be fruitful and can help us. And so each week we've been talking about a different principle that we've kind of brought to the surface from this passage. And Jesus first, we'll just walk through these just as a reminder. Jesus first says to have the conversation. First, to have the conversation. A lot of times, it's kind of the fight, flight, or freeze mechanism. We run away, we ghost people, we go, and we don't never talk. Or we fight, we want to have a confrontation, or we freeze, and we just like avoid the whole thing altogether. And none of those are healthy ways. But he talks about having the conversation. Having the conversation. Have a conversation with the right person, not everybody else, but with the right person, in the right way. And be direct with it. Be direct about that. And then the second week, last week, We talked about how it's important to check your reality. To check your reality, like decide to have the conversation, but also realize that you have one perspective and one experience. And while, yes, you that may be correct, you may also be incorrect at the same time. And so it's important to have some other perspectives, some wise mentors or relationships outside of the situation, people who care about you, that will be honest with you, that can help get you gain perspective and not jump to assumptions or jump to conclusions about things. Well, today we're going to look at the third principle here, and that is to know your outcome. Know your outcome. And I think this is really, really important. And so we're going to turn to the scripture once again. What I want us to do, it'll be up on the screen. It's also in your worship guide as well if you want to follow along. But I want us to read this together. So if you feel comfortable reading aloud, please join me in our reading of Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 18. So Jesus says this, "If your brother or sister sins against you, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So I've gotten a few questions during the course of this series, just in conversations with some of you. Remember in week one, following at the end of the message, I challenged you to think of a conversation that you've been avoiding, to think of maybe a disagreement you've had that you haven't quite stepped there and had that conversation. And some of you guys have asked, you know, or to say, like, you know, you really struggled with that the conversation that you're thinking of could be a really big thing. It could be a really big thing. And that person that you'd have the conversation with might not listen. They might not listen. And so the question that I've gotten to piggyback on that has been, how do you know when to let someone go from your life? How do you know when to let someone go from your life? When they won't talk to you, they won't listen, what do you do? What are the boundaries for having the conversation, and when should I quit trying? And maybe that's crossed your mind over the course of the series, because, and I think it's legitimate, because Jesus, even in this passage we just read, Jesus recognizes that not every conversation is going to work out as we hoped. Not every conversation is going to work out as we hope. That this isn't like magic. This isn't like three ingredients, you do these things, and voila, everything's going to be fine and dandy. You know, I think about it. It's not like sea monkeys. Anybody remember sea monkeys? I don't think they sell them anymore. They're like these little like critters you would get. They're like in a powder, and you would put in water, and then they would like become like these little creatures that would swim around. You just added water to them, and then you feed them, and you can keep them alive, and it's lots of fun, I think. But anyway, it's not like you just add water, and then voila, we have a great little thing going on and everything's fine and dandy. Like, it's not, we're best friends forever. It's often not like that. See, Jesus even says in verse 17, if someone still won't pay attention, which is kind of a pretty strong inclination that sometimes people don't listen and sometimes conversations don't work out. So I think having the conversation really does need this third principle, especially when you're in a sticky situation. To know your outcome before you step in, to figure out what do you want to get out of it? What is your goal? What will you talk about? What do you want? What is a successful conversation, successfully moving forward? What does that look like? And I think that all of this, it requires discernment, it requires prayer, and help from God, help from the Holy Spirit to bring about a change within us. And to help us recognize what is it that I'm looking for in this relationship and conversation. So today we're going to ask that question. What does it mean to know your outcome? And how does that help? How does that help as we're facing conflict? Well, I think the first thing it does is that knowing your outcome helps determine if. And we put if in quotation marks, and I'll describe what that means. It helps us figure out if we need to have the conversation in the first place. That what I'm saying is that it might kind of go against all that we just like talked about. You might think that, but not every offense requires you to rush in and have a conversation. That there are times that you may be hurt. Sometimes we may pick fights. Sometimes we make mountains out of molehills and we complain about every single thing. That's why it's important to ask, what is the outcome? What is my hopeful outcome from that conversation? So here's an example for you that I'm just going to throw out. So imagine that you're at work. And if you're retired, remember a day that you were at work. So you're at work and you're having a meeting with your team members, coworkers, and your boss, and you share an idea that you think that you guys should do, and someone then throws out another idea, and the whole group is like, yeah, we're going to move forward with their idea, and the boss is like, yeah, we're going to do that, and you have discussion, and you decide to go with them. And then after the meeting, where do you go? You go back to your desk or back to the job site, and you feel dismissed, ignored, and especially mad because your idea wasn't taken. And I think we all have times like that, whether that exactly or something similar. And you have those feelings that kind of bubble up inside you, and immediately you want to do something about it. You want to have a conversation about it. But that's why it's good to think, if I would go to my boss or go to my coworkers, what would a resolution actually look like in that situation? An apology? Like, should they apologize for that? Like, no, we had a discussion and they decided to go in that direction. Should they make them pick your idea or applaud you? You'd say, like, nobody really needs to apologize. They're already going with another idea. And the thing is, as you would check your reality, you discover that maybe the case is more with you than it is with them. And you discover that. Maybe you wrestle, realizing in your life, you wrestle with inferiority. Or maybe you are not the one that really good at executing ideas. You're good at like thinking things and you have a track record for that. And maybe people aren't going with you in that. So maybe if you do have a conversation, maybe it's talking to your boss about ways you can improve in that. Or things that you're not seeing. So my point here is that there's a lot of situations like this that don't necessitate a conversation that turns out being more about something you're dealing with than about the actual situation. And that just because you're hurt or offended doesn't always mean that there's a bad guy and you have to have a conversation. You know, it's good to examine, did the other person actually do something wrong or did they just strike a nerve with me? Did they actually do something wrong or did they just strike a nerve something? Or, hey, I'm dealing with something else and it's just like, oh, it hit me in the wrong way. And so often, if we can't figure out what our hopeful outcome is or what we actually want, or even if it's very vague, if you think about, like, what am I hoping from this conversation and you're really unsure, then maybe it's good to just explore deeper before we go in to talk to the person. So that's the first thing, is that knowing your outcome helps determine if. That's why it's helpful. But the second thing here is that knowing your outcome also helps determine what. Helps determine what. So in case we need to have a conversation, the question is, what kind of conversation do you actually need to have? In any kind of difficult or stressful situation, there's always going to be multiple sets of issues that are going to come up. And knowing your what is going to help you determine what is the issue that actually needs to be addressed. So here's another example. It's a different story. So wipe that slate clean. We're going to talk about something different. So imagine this, you and your spouse, or you and your significant other, or you and your very, very close friend, you're planning an evening out on Friday night. You want to do something fun together. And you've been really, really looking forward to it, like all week long. And Friday rolls around, and that person comes to you and says, hey, I ran into so-and-so. Remember our friend, other friends? Yeah. And guess what? I told them, hey, why don't you join us on Friday night, right? Has it ever happened to you? Just don't shake your head. But yeah, just come and join us, right? Just join me. Join us. We're going out to so-and-so and doing this. And they're like, that's okay, right? And at that point, like, you have a decision to make, right? Of course, you love your friends, but you were looking forward to just a time that the two of you could get together. You know, and also by this, that person, your spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever it is, They also have a habit of making plans involving you without consulting you first. What do you do? What do? You have to decide first, do you need to have the conversation? But then exactly what is the issue that you need to address here? What do you need to talk about? So, and usually, get this, in a hard conversation, it usually falls into one of three categories. What kind of conversation? First, that it's about the actual issue, the content of the issue. The second thing it could be about is about a pattern of behavior. You've seen this over and over and over again. He always leaves the dishes in the sink again, right? And she didn't take out the trash again. They didn't do, like, those kind of patterns that arise over and over and over again. Or the third can actually be the relationship itself. That the relationship itself is at stake. And that's kind of the most extreme. So with those three things in mind, let's go back to the story. So the first thing that you could talk about with that significant person, you could talk about the issue. The issue is what? They invited the friends with you, right? They invited the friends along. And you might tell them, well, you invited the friends along. I really just wanted it to be the two of us. But then you could do number two. What is the pattern of behavior? Maybe it's the pattern that the person, they kept doing the same thing. And you go to them and you say, hey, you know what? This is like the third time that you've kind of made a decision that involved me without consulting me. This is a pattern of behavior. Or maybe it's the third. Maybe it's about your relationship. Maybe you've noticed that it feels like they're avoiding you. They don't want to be close to you anymore, or that you don't feel close to them. You feel like they're putting things off, time that you two could be alone. And maybe you talk about that relationship. Like, I'm just feeling like things are a little bit off between us. And so that's really clarifying what it is, what it is that you're looking for. The point is that in any given situation, there's a whole bunch of things that you could address or you could talk about. But knowing your outcome, it helps determine what resolution you want to look for. So that's the second piece, is that knowing your outcome helps determine whether you should have a conversation. Knowing your outcome helps determine what. But then third is that knowing your outcome helps determine whether to keep going or whether to stop. And I think this is the hardest piece, because I said at the beginning that Jesus knows that not every conversation is going to end with a resolution. And you and I have experienced this. You know, can I get an amen to that? Amen. That sometimes there is not a resolution. You know, and I wish I could totally say otherwise. I wish it could be sea monkey material, that you just add water and poof, everything is great. But Jesus says this, though. The first thing you notice in Matthew 18 is Jesus says, give multiple opportunities to have the conversation. Give multiple opportunities. It's not just a one and done, I'm gone. But give out multiple opportunities. The first thing he says, starting off, if someone sins against you, go and talk to them. But then another thing, like, don't just stop there. But if they don't listen, then verse 16 says, then take others with you. Get their perspectives and witnesses. And then if still not, then take the church. Take more people. And then, if not, he says these words. He says, treat them as a Gentile or tax collector, a pagan or a tax collector. Meaning, sometimes you got to move forward without them. But mind you, still love them. See, Jesus, if we read the rest of the scriptures, who did Jesus especially love and spend time with? The Gentiles, the pagans, and the tax collectors. You can still love someone. The door is still being open, but you notice that the relationship has changed. That there's a different boundary in place. And so it might seem harsh in that way, but I think Jesus not only sees the importance of pursuing a conversation, but also when it's time to stop, when it's time for that to end. And when it comes to hard conversations, of course, no matter what it is, there's usually like three potential outcomes. The first is that the vast majority of problems and issues are when we just have the conversation, when we have one conversation, one face-to-face conversation, that's all it takes. You know, you talk to someone about the dishes in the sink, or about that comment that they made on the sidelines of your kid's game, or whatever it is. You have one conversation, and boom, okay, things move forward. Things are a lot better, and you get the issue off your back. You tell you like leave feeling refreshed. You're like, oh, Like, okay, it's all good. He kept the problem from even growing bigger or getting bigger. But sometimes after one conversation, you realize that the issue is bigger than you thought. And that's what Jesus says here, is that it may take several conversations. It may mean calling in a witness. It may be calling a counselor or a therapist. You know, sometimes we find that we've ignored things for so long that we need an ongoing, multiple conversations to solve the problem and to heal. And the thing is, like, often we don't get into situations overnight, and so they're not going to heal overnight. They're not going to change overnight. But then the third possibility is that sometimes the conversation just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Sometimes the person is very dug in. Sometimes they're silent. Sometimes they don't want to move forward. Sometimes they're not even up to talking at all. You know, and maybe even in the conversation, they're actually unreasonable, or it's just hard to figure out at all what they want. In that case, that requires us to redefine the relationship, or maybe stop the relationship altogether. And just a side note here, we're not talking about abuse here. We're not talking about physical, emotional, psychological abuse. In that situation, there may not be a conversation to be had. There may be excising yourself from that situation and reaching out and getting help, that there may not be a conversation that's going to fully resolve that by any means. And bringing in another party, or at least getting yourself to a safe place before that, is the most important piece. But in this situation, though, when you look at a different situation, it's knowing why, what the outcome is that you're looking for, that helps you to determine what to do, to helps you maybe have to redefine your expectations and that relationship. And a friend of mine, who's also a pastor, she was talking to me about a situation she was working with a young lady in her church, a young lady who was very, very frustrated with her mom. And this young woman's mom just was uninvolved in her life. She didn't really care. She wasn't there for her many times that she needed her. And so this young woman decided to have a conversation with her mom. And so she decided to talk to her mom. And she talked to her mom multiple times. And multiple times the conversation just was met with defensiveness, or it didn't go well. There were several rounds of disappointment. And what outcome or what change that she desired in her mom to be more involved in her life, she realized at that point that it was just not going to happen. And so this young woman, what she did was a very healthy thing, though a very hard thing, was that she decided to redefine the relationship with her mom. That she recognized that she needed to take her mom for who she is and not the expectation or the hope that she had, but she also needed to protect her own heart in that process. And so as my friend was describing the situation, you know, your heart breaks in that. Once again, like, reconciliation and restoration is all in the heart of God. But sometimes the best thing to do in that difficult situation, in the midst of our brokenness, is to redefine that relationship. And some of us here, we've had to do that. We've had to do that with people you love, you know, that you've had to redefine how you allow them to operate in your life. And sometimes you find that this means that a relationship is abusive in some way, and it needs very, very strong boundaries because of that. Or sometimes what love looks like is drawing a boundary and not allowing someone's behaviors or continued actions or words to continue to hurt you, as hard as that is. And so that's why knowing your outcome helps determine whether to keep going or whether to stop. And once again, I want to let you know that in a prayerful spirit, seeking God's will, seeking the Lord to lead you in this way, to also helps determine whether that nudge to move forward or also that stopping point there, to say, is this something that I just need to redefine and to work through? So let me say here, as we wrap up, just a final word on verse 18, where I don't know if you notice as we were reading that, there's this kind of, Jesus finishes with this very puzzling yet pithy word, this verse here. He says this, truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So my question is, what on earth is Jesus talking about? Like, you don't hear these words commonly. Well, I think in my research and kind of at the base level, Jesus is getting at how our dealings here on earth can have lasting and even eternal consequences for us and for other people. That we need to take our relationships seriously. That what I think about is that how we choose to deal or not deal or address conflict can affect our relationships long term, can affect patterns in our lives, and can actually influence and impact our relationship with God, not just with others. And we can choose not to address it. We can choose to avoid it. But over time, I think time and time again, as I hear stories and after story, is that we'll find that it starts to define not just the one relationship, but then starts to define and echo out and ripple out into other relationships when we keep avoiding having a conversation. And I have to say this, like at least in my life, you know, looking at the closing words here of Jesus, the risk of having the conversation almost always outweighs the risk of not having the conversation. If we lean in, we have the ability for God to intervene and to begin to change hearts and to intervene in the relationship. And it impacts us. It has lasting impact on the person, but also it impacts our experience of them. And I think that loosening is the loosening of shackles that we often carry with us in those relationships. Things like worry and hate and bitterness can release us and truly to say, at least for me, I don't want to have the regret of not having done my part to at least try and talk to somebody and to have that conversation. And on the flip side, though, I've also experienced huge relief from having conversations, even if it's not been the resolution that I've wanted. And so, summing that all up here together, today I want to leave you with a final assignment. So we've been asking over the series, what is that one conversation that you've been avoiding? And I'm sure, like, you know, some of you guys will walk out of here and, you know, you just continue about things. Maybe keep in mind some of these principles for future. But maybe for you, there is something specific. There is a conversation that you've been avoiding or putting off that you need to have. And maybe it's a big thing, but maybe it's a small thing. Maybe it is about the dishes or about the dinner date that didn't take place or not the way you wanted to. And what I want you to do is not just to name it, to figure out what is the cost of not having it, to check your reality on it, to think about what could there be another story that's going on. But today I want you to invite you, what could be the hopeful outcome of having the conversation? What is it that you want to talk about? What could be the resolution that you're looking for? And my prayer for you today, my prayer for all of us, is that in our relationships, whether it's here at church, or whether it's in your work, or in your family, or in your neighborhood, or whatever those things are, when those conflicts come up, that we would follow the process that Jesus lays out. To go directly to the person, not to avoid or to run away or to be argumentative, but to go and to have the conversation directly with that person, to seek counsel if needed on that perspective, and then also to decide what is that hopeful outcome I'm looking for. And my prayer today is that God would give us the courage to take the initiative and to actually do it. And so today I want us to pray for that. I want us to pray for the Spirit's work ahead of us, that we can't do it alone. We can't muster enough strength or figure things out or figure people out alone. And even on this Father's Day, maybe it is a father relationship that needs a conversation. But whatever it is, that we would seek God's help for that outcome, knowing and trusting that God is at work even before we recognize he is. And so let's pray.